lesson tonight. I just want you to give you this gift. You can just take it home. And when you're doing communion or when you're doing confession time or small groups or something like that, I just found it a handy tool. I'll keep one of those. Sorry, Noel. I'll keep one of those. Thank you. And so I want you to please take this and then stow it away right now in your Bible, in your purse, in your bag, whatever you have, because I don't want you to get focused on this. As I said this afternoon, one of the dangers of looking in self-examination is like people, they get into despair. That's not the purpose of self-examination, everybody. The purpose of self-examination is to actually get into great hope and glory and victory. And so just take that lesson, and I find it really good notes. And I always like good notes, good guides on different things. And we are, one of the issues of a river culture, a revival culture, is walking in the light. You must walk in the light. And I so appreciate just your culture, as you guys share with each other, you have small groups, and from time to time you get up and you just talk about your past. I find that so healthy, and I just want to commend you for that, that you keep that culture of walking the light. That's a revival culture, because I believe that the blood of Jesus only works when we walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, 7 and verse 9. And we can sing about the blood, we can talk about the blood, but there is tremendous power in the blood to wash away our sins, to make our consciences clean, arriba, and to have hope and just joy, really, living before the Lord when we have a clear conscience. And so that's why I encourage you to keep on walking in the light. All right, now for this next handout, Gwendolyn, my dear, you and I think we made a bit of a mistake. And I'll take the full blame. I'll walk in the light on that. We only have 40 of these. So husband and wife, for sure, share. If you're sitting next to one another, do paper, rock, scissors. Or we can have a bingo game real quick to see who gets. What do you have there? Which one do you have there? That's the leftovers. Okay, can you give that one to Gwen, please? Give those to Gwen. And this one on identity theft also. So couples, one per couple. Let's do our best to, Lord, multiply these. Multiply these somehow. Because this is the lesson tonight. What's that one under there? Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned, we could have just given this over to the worship team, because the river is so flowing in that worship. And we want to get them back, and we're going to pray for everyone here at the end. How are we doing?
Good.
Are you finding friendship about who gets what paper?
Yeah.
Paper, rock, scissors. Yes, I do have that digital. No, there you go. Okay. Yeah, take a picture of it, even right now, and hand it on. That's great. See, you guys think in a different generation than me. I just like hard copies. You know, I like when I'm asking people to turn to a book. I like hearing. I like hearing those things. But isn't there an app now that when you turn to the Bible app, it actually sounds like pages turning? Yeah, I think. Listen, I'm going to stick with the one that Paul used. So I'm sticking with this one right here. Okay, anyways. How are we doing? Everybody good? Everybody happy? Wasn't that a great dinner tonight? Amen. Who had the chicken? Who had the beef? Who had the chicken and beef? So there's a confession paper we just handed out. Show me your ways. I'll say it again. Worship team, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. The anointing on you guys is increasing. Amen. Well done. Amen. So whatever you're doing, arriba, keep on doing it. All right. What were some of the symbols of the Holy Spirit from last night? Fire. Wine. Wind. Water. Salt. Seal. Beauty. Come on. Wonderful. And he's with us tonight again. Ooh, Lord. Keep on coming. Let the river flow. The river flows. A river flows. That's what a river does. It flows. And so from your beginning to pray and fast for this weekend and starting and driving here and then last night and then today, the river is flowing. Keep on flowing. River of God, keep on filling. Keep on filling. Thank you that there's angels in the river. Would you mind briefly sharing what you shared with me today about when you talked about the winds and what you felt on your face? Can you share that briefly?
It was the morning session when we were waiting on the Lord standing. I had my eyes closed and I felt something flicking me, but very gently. And I've never had that sensation before. Wow. And I thought they were angels, but I didn't know. So I asked Dan, and he said, yeah, I think. Wow. Yes.
I love it. I love it. Light or heavy? Either way, I love it. Lord, thank you that the angels are here with us. Thank you for the winds of the Spirit. Keep on filling us. Fill our inner man with your glory. Amen. Okay, so we have that paper in front of us, identity theft. So I want to just talk about, for about half an hour, about identity. And then we want to go back to prayer. We're going to remove the chairs again and line everybody up. And we just see how the Lord leads the prayer time tonight. Ooh. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Lord, just come and help us here. Give us revelation. We pray for a prophetic spirit among us tonight. Pointing. Giving the understanding. Giving revelation. Helping us with your revelation. How you created us. You created us for, as we said last night, for the purpose for which you have established our steps. You have taken us out of the pit. You've delivered us from the miry clay. You've set our feet upon a rock. And you have established our steps. You've given us direction and purpose that we can make an impact. We're here for a reason on this earth, in this generation, in this time of history, of this time of world history, of this time of revival history. Here we are, Lord. We present ourselves to you again. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe on our hearts. Breathe on this, on the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he, that is Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus went to church. That's a good model. And stood up to read. So it was his turn to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And we had opened the book. Everybody say the book. He found the place where it was written. Now, here's an amazing thing. You have the same book. Of course, you have Isaiah. Back then, this is referring to, you know, what we refer to as the Old Testament. And he opened the book. Just imagine the same book that we have. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, there's a question about how he found this place, the scripture passage. And the question is, was this the regular Sabbath reading? Because back then, even then, they still had a Sabbath tradition. You know, that they read certain portions on the Sabbath. But I think what he did is he opened the book, and in his reading, he turned to Isaiah intentionally. Probably not the Sabbath reading for that day. And read about himself. And declared about himself. And he found the place where the Spirit of God had written 500 years, 700 years before that. How many years was it, Andrew? 700? Isaiah. Help me out here. Yes, okay. Should give your diploma back. How much did you pay for your diploma? You should get a refund. He found the place where it was written about him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Arriba! You don't have to behave yourself. I mean, I give you, you're free to drink while I teach. So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant at the synagogue and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. So apparently what he's saying there, it must have had an authority. You know, that there is a recognized authority that when he spoke those words, there was heaven was on those words. And some kind of an atmosphere came into that synagogue, and it wasn't just, okay, this is the Bible reading for the week. And let's let the kids out so that they can play, but we have to go through this. No, there was something in that atmosphere. He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this scripture is fulfilled. The scripture was fulfilled when a man, listen to me closely, when the Son of Man, the man from Nazareth, the man, he was in Nazareth. Everyone knew him. He was raised in this little small town. Dare we ask Andrew how big the population of Nazareth was in that time? He won't answer anyways. What's it? 17,000. I think he's guessing. How many think he's guessing? Because he wants to hang on to his diploma. He needs to justify his diploma. We just jostle back and forth. Today, this scripture is fulfilled right here in Nazareth. What was written, I found the place that was written about me, and it's going to be fulfilled. Now you're saying, oh, Dan, that was Jesus. Of course, that was about him. But I want to share with you something, friends. He got a rhema word. He got a life giving word. He found himself in the scripture. And I don't want to get into, I don't understand all that. The deity, when did he understand? And did he, you know, the conception and all that. But Jesus was standing before them as a man. As the carpenter's son. And he had been reading Isaiah. And the Spirit of God came upon him somehow. And he understood, ha! This is me. The word written hundreds of years ago. And now that's, I declare to you that scripture was written about me and applies to me. Now, friends, you are not the Messiah, but you are children of God. And your biography is also in the scripture. Your calling is also in the scripture. The rhema word, arriba, for you, is also in the scripture to give you your identity, your task, your calling, an insight into the abilities that God has put into you. It's all right there. And you can read the same scripture. We can read these books that are before us. And under the inspiration and the breathing of the Holy Spirit, that becomes life and calling and destiny for us. And then you declare, ah! You declare it and know it and declare it confidently. This is who I am, because this is what God has said about me. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired, it's God-breathed. The same breath that was with the authors when they wrote that scripture, that same breath is with you as you read the scripture. He breathes on that scripture. And Jesus declared in Matthew 4, "For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word, every specific word, not just the general Bible revelation. Of course, we need that. But every Bible, every scripture, rhema word, for the present word for the present season. The present word for the present season. How do you live? You do not live by your daily bread alone. Because next week, you'll get weak on that. But you live on what God is breathing to you now. That is what life is. Sharaba. My sheep hear my voice. Where is sheep? He's the shepherd. He talks to us. And we've talked about dreams, visions, impressions, prophecy. Hallelujah. It's all great. But the first portion, that first foundation of revelation is the scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that is presently proceeding. That's the present tense. Not that just proceeded 2,000 years ago or 2,500 years ago. The word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God, the breath of God, what he's breathing on for you, that's how you and I live. Ah. And it's amazing. We have the same book and the same breath. Oh. Sharaba. And so he understood very clearly who he was. He would get up and say, and give his clear biography. This is who I am. This is who I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm going to do. This is what heaven's task for me. This is why heaven created me. And I'm declaring those things because you should be able to say the same, to answer those same questions. And I should be able to answer those same questions. And it's a discovery process. Finding our biography. Jesus, of course, knew his identity. He declared his identity through the I am statements. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door, etc. Jesus declared with confidence and boldness his biography. But and again, you're going to say, but Dan, that's... No, no. You got to know your biography. You got to confidently declare... Now listen closely. Don't accuse me of heresy. You got to confidently declare your I am. There is only one I am, the ultimate I am, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and declared the I am. But that I am gives us our I am. Psalm 40, we looked at it yesterday. He's established our steps. Huh. There's an establishment from heaven on our steps and who we are. And so Paul also had a very clear I am. Romans chapter 1. Paul confidently declared, and friends, if you're going to be, how do I say this? I don't like to separate ministry and is all of life is ministry. We're all living before, whether we're a lawyer, whether we're a teacher, whether we're a minister, we all have our I am statements. But let's be real. If you have a calling upon your life, you better know your I am. So you're not wandering. So your feet are established. Paul had an I am. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He knew he had an apostolic ministry. He knew that there was a grace upon his life that was apostolic, separated to the gospel of God. He had a lifestyle that was separated. He had to go out into the wilderness. He had to go out into Arabia. He was in lifestyle separated to the gospel. Verse 2, which he promised before through the holy, through his prophets and the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Verse 5, through him, now he gets back to his biography. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. He's declaring here, I've got a certain measure of grace. I've got a kind of grace. And we're going to be looking at it down this list here. You got to know the kind of grace you have. The type, the quality. God gives manifold graces. Graces like Baskin-Robbins 31 flavor ice cream. Not all grace is vanilla. Not all grace is the same. And so we need to understand the grace that is given to us. So he says, I'm a bond servant, I'm an apostle, I'm separated, I've received grace for apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations. So he was called to the nations. And he was able to confidently declare that. And so I just thought that it would be good for us to go through this idea of writing down your own biography so that you can write your IAMs. We need to write down our own biography. We each have a calling, a purpose, and grace given to us before the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy 1:9. Actually, let's just turn over there. 2 Timothy 1:9. Okay. Paul says here in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began. So everyone say, I have a calling, not according to my works. Oh, now that's interesting right there. You have your ideas, but Paul says, this is not according to our works, and we didn't earn it, but according to his purpose. So there's a sovereignty about this biography that we connect with. We find ourselves in this. See, even Paul, like in the natural, Paul should have gone to the Jews. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, Israelite of Israelite, studied theology, you know, but God's purpose was not to send him to the Jews. God's purpose was to send him to the Gentiles. So he declares here, I have a calling, kaleo, the calling. The church is called the ecclesia. Out of the word kaleo, the ecclesia is the called out ones from the word kaleo. So there is this higher heavenly calling for individuals as well as for the church. we're called out. He's shouting to us. We just can't hear well enough. Heavenly calling is shouting to us, everyone. And thank God that he comes along and snaps us out of our deafness. And Isaiah said, he opens my ear and gives me then the tongue of the learned. He opens my ear morning by morning. He is calling you. He is calling me. He is calling Ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, according to his own purpose. So this is not just general, this is specific. Thank God, when I was 21 in Palmyra, Pennsylvania, Bob, next to where Bob lives, in 1981, minding my own business, eating my spaghetti dinner. And heaven came into my room and gave me a calling. It was like he slapped me out of my situation right there. And heaven came down. And there was a calling. And for me, it was dramatic. It doesn't have to be dramatic for everyone, but their calling is for everyone. And it's not according to our works, it's according to his purpose. And grace. And so grace is the energy, it's the life of God energizing us to do his will. The life of God energizing us to do his will. And so that grace and that calling has been stored up for us in Christ Jesus before time began. Well, before time began. So the Lord had a design for you and for me. Verse 10, but it has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who's abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was, now here he is again his biography, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Okay, so can I just give you a little appetizer tonight with this handout, and we're not done yet, to start thinking about your biography. If Paul was able to write down his biography, then you should be able to. Israel had an identity. Israel's God-given identity was kings and priests. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. That was their God-given identity. Their identity was changed in their soul through fear and challenging circumstances, so that they changed their own identity into grasshoppers. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. God had called them kings and priests. They had called themselves grasshoppers. A grasshopper is not going to be able to take the city. Circumstances will try to change your reality. Gideon in Judges chapter 6. What did God say about him? Man of valor, go in this strength of yours. You already have what it takes. You already have it. And he was hiding, threshing out wheat in the wine bin there. And what did he say about himself? He says, who am I? I'm the smallest. Who's my clan? Who's my family? I'm just a no one. And what he spoke over himself as his identity was completely different than the heavenly calling. He had a visitation from heaven the angel of the Lord visited him and said, this is who you are, man of valor. And he just doubted it and doubted it and doubted it. And the Lord was merciful upon him and gave him signs, heavenly signs, dreams, visions to confirm heavenly identity. So let's just stop right now and ask for those signs, okay? If you're struggling like Gideon, if you're not sure who you are, thank God for heaven's visitations. That's why I talked to Andrew and Genny today. I said, what has heaven showed us? What dreams and visions have you had about such and such? I really believe in that. I believe that heaven is active. So, Lord Jesus, we pray for signs from heaven regarding our identity. As you were faithful and merciful to Gideon, that you would be faithful and merciful to us as well. To give us our identity and to know who we are. Do not let your identity be stolen, friends. Let's turn to Matthew 16. Peter. Let's look at Peter. I wonder what Peter's father was like. I don't know for sure, but Jesus brought up the issue. In Matthew 16, Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. There again, they couldn't understand the identity of the Lord. Verse 15, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Oh, did you have to bring up my dad? Did you have to bring up my family? Did you have to bring up my past? Now, in the natural, yeah. That's how they read, you know, Jesus' last name wasn't Christ. He was the Jesus, son of Joseph. That's how he would be known locally, right? And so you call each other by your name and then your father, Ochistva. In Korean, do you have that? Do you have your first name and then your father's name? In Russian, my name is Daniel Grigorievich. Because my father's first name was George. And so I would be known as Daniel, the son of George. Right? In Macedonia, is it the same way in the Macedonian language? In Albanian, the same way. You are connected with your father. You are the son, you're the natural son or the natural child of so-and-so. And now there's a spirit of revelation in this conversation. What's going on here? Who do men say that I am, everybody? Well, they're not getting it right. Some say you're Joseph. Some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And so he's pressing into revelation here. And who do you say I am? And Simon said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, there's a spirit of revelation coming here. But where's that revelation coming from? It's coming from the Father. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So your natural father line is going to limit you a lot. You're not going to get this from what heaven says about you. You're not going to get it from your natural father. Or your circumstances. You need another father. who is communicating with you, who had grace stored up for your purpose, for your life according to his purpose, before the foundation of the world. Stored up with your name on it. You're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah. But that's very limited. Flesh and blood is not revealing this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Somehow the Father started communicating. The Heavenly Father was communicating with Peter. That's where you're going to find your sweet spot right there. That's where you and I are going to find our sweet spot. So forget about the past and concentrate on me. Ah. Ben and I plan to go to France until we had dreams and visions about going to Ukraine. We plan to be in YWAM until we had dreams and visions about connecting with Toronto. We had plans for evangelism, and we still do. And then God gave us dreams and visions about carrying the river in Eastern Europe. We have plans, and the Father has his plans. And life seems to be an unfolding and a discovery of these plans. Our identity cannot be based on sentiment. That's the soulish realm. Soul can only take you so far. Soulish ties, emotion, nice feelings. Hebrews chapter 4:12 says that the word will separate soul and spirit. My dad was a respected Baptist preacher. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, kicked out of the Baptist church, and we started this new journey, it was hard on his soul. It was hard on his soul. But I could, as hard as it was for me to see his suffering and how hard it was for his soul, I had to move on in the Spirit. I had to move on in the Spirit under my Heavenly Father. I thank God for my father and my mother. Arriba! But we had to move on. Identity cannot be based on abuse. It cannot be based on false words, human authority figures, etc. So I want to pray as much as we can tonight. I don't want to take a long time here. And so I'm not going to go through all of this. You can read through this. There's scripture on it. You'll be able to relate to this as you start writing your own biography. But I will say this. I want to go down to the "Who am I sent to?" passage. And let's turn over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So in identity and in biography, we have to know who we are. We have to know who we're sent to, and we have to know who we're going with. 2 Corinthians 10, 12 to 18. Are you aware that chapters 10 to 13 in 2 Corinthians is about that whole passage is on spiritual authority? And it's a weapon of warfare for the edification of the saints. And part of spiritual authority is, okay, verse 13, you have to know who you're sent to. Verse 13, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but beyond the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us. A sphere which especially includes you. And so what Paul is saying in this context of spiritual authority is that spiritual authority has spheres that you're sent to. And it's not just for full-time ministers. We're all sent. But that, and it goes on, verse 14, for we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. What Paul is saying here, if I don't recognize my sphere, I can waste my time. If I don't recognize my sphere, I can waste my energy. If I don't recognize my sphere, who I'm sent to, what I'm supposed to be doing, I could the water just would just pour out of me and be useless. There's no banks for it. It would be, and by overextending ourselves. Because his authority extended to them, the Corinthians. He was bold enough to be able to say that. As if our authority did not extend to you. Now the word authority gets a bad rap. And it's scary sometimes as people have misused authority. But there's still spiritual authority. If we're going to be healthy. And Gwen and I have had fantastic journeys of healthy spiritual authority in our lives for 40 years through Buffalo and through Toronto with John or not. It's just been amazing. We've seen the good and the bad and the ugly in other places, but we've had mainly good. And so we need to know who we're sent to. And that is revealed in influence, in favor, in inward freedom and joy. That could be geographical. God is a God of geography. Interesting. God knows the map. And he knows you. And he can pinpoint geography for us. In moves, in planting ourselves somewhere. God is the God of geography. We could be sent to a demographic, children, youth, people, broken, an age group, etc. So know your assignment. Know your assignment, and that it goes on to talk about how to find your assignment. And just 5 more minutes, then we want to pray. The last question is on this biography. We don't have time to go through it all. This usually takes a whole weekend. Who am I traveling with? Oh, this is a really good question. Acts chapter 13. An Antioch Center. Have we been talking about Antioch Centers? Verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord, as they just kept on regular liturgio is the word there, ministered. Just regular, planned, seeking the Lord. That's what that word means. And they fasted. The Holy Spirit said to them, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. It seems that in an Antioch center, in a glory house, it doesn't necessarily have to be big, but in a glory house, the Lord puts relationships together and heavenly relationships are put together. Separate unto me. This is what I want. The Holy Spirit said. This one and this one. Create this partnership. And so you got to know who you're traveling with. You got to be equipped. Ephesians 4 verse 12. That word equipped is setting in place as a chiropractor sets a disjointed bone in place. So joined, Strength comes through proper joining. And when you're joined, commit yourself there, because Ephesians 4, verse 16, out of that joining comes supply, both spiritual as well as material supply. The supply of the Spirit. And it's the supply of the Spirit in the sense of you get grace, you get the Holy Spirit. When you're in the proper place, you feel fed there, you're going to be alive there. But it's also, somehow God creates material supply when we're joined right. I believe that. Energy, growth, and learning to love happens out of proper joining. Jesus prayed about his team all night. About who to join himself to. Heavenly jigsaws put together here on earth. Amazing. Heavenly callings. And so on this last one, you can just close your Bibles and your books now. I just want to tell you guys a story, especially about the joining one. And this has to do with dreams and things. So part of this, our little biography was, you know, we were good Baptists, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, always loved missions, wanted to go to France. Through dreams and visions, called to Ukraine, lots of evangelism to start off with. But we always had this relationship with John Arnott in Toronto from back in the revival, even when we were living in Ukraine. We had a visitation of the Holy Spirit at a summer camp in 1998. And when I say visitation, it was an Isaiah 44 flood. It was similar to the first month in Toronto. It lasted for 8 days in a town called Boguslav in Ukraine. And we just started camp and we had devotions at 10 a.m. similar to this. There's about 100 youth there. And at the end of the devotions, we just went down and just started blessing people. And it was like a flood. Like heaven came down on that camp. And it started shifting us. And the Lord started speaking to us about carrying the river. Still doing evangelism, but carrying the river. And so we invite, and at the time we were a part of YWAM. And we invited John and Carol to come in 1999. There was a businessman who had heard about what had happened. A businessman from Buffalo. He said, Dan, it sounds like you need John and Carol there to follow up. If they agree to come, I will pay their business fare from Toronto to Kiev, like first class. I said, well, I think they'll take it. And they did take it. And they came over, and we had a wonderful conference with John and Carol in Kiev. And in the evenings, there was about 2,500 people. And at the end of that conference, the fourth day, you know when you organize a conference, you know, especially for 2,500 people, it's like, and we were the organizers. Oh, thank God it's over. You know, I mean, it's been a great conference, but you know, you're sitting in the front line. Yes, it was a success, Lord. You blessed so many people, and I was sitting in the front row, just kind of like this, and I looked down, and there was this baby in my hands. A baby from heaven. It was the Toronto blessing baby. It was just, there it was, right in my hands. And the Lord said to me, take care of this baby. And I just looked at this baby. And I won't get into all the details, but there was a couple of times in the next couple of years I tried to give that baby away. I really did. And I look back now and I thank God. The two guys I tried to give the baby away to, they said, no, I don't think. Well, one said, maybe I'll take it. The other one said, no, this isn't for me. And so God kept on putting this baby back into my hands and told me to take care of this baby. Arriba! And so at the end of that conference, I was driving John back to the airport from Kiev, just to the suburbs of Kiev, a little town called Borispol, where the airport is. It's closed now. It's been closed for 4 years because of the war. You can't fly into Ukraine. But we're driving back, and John turns to me and says, Dan, it'd be great if you and Gwen come to our first month-long school of leaders in Toronto. Now, this is already like the around June the 6th or June the 8th or something like that. It starts in July, Dan. And I have five kids, and I'm thinking rationally, and I'm thinking financially. And there's two or three things I think about. Number one, more than half of our supporters were still conservative. They were not river people. They were not anywhere near river people. They loved us because we were doing evangelism. And it was a great season. It was a great time. And I thought to myself, I don't think they would like if I go to a Toronto school for 1 month. And then the other thing I thought is that we had just been as missionaries back in Canada the previous year. And so we had this custom only once every 2 years we return. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't think my supporters are going to want me to come every year with five kids. You know, and this is, I'm just telling you, I thought in a poverty spirit, in a rationalistic spirit. And so I said, John, thank you for the invitation. We won't be able to come. I was just there last year. Thanks for the conference. Great. And off he flies away. And I go home. A couple of days later, I have a dream. So this is where a heavenly calling starts coming in, everybody. You have grace stored up for you before the foundation of the world. You have your ideas. Heaven has his ideas. Simon Barjona, Daniel, son of George. Anyways, and I had this dream a couple of days after John left. And in this dream, there is a plexiglass pulpit there in Toronto. And I'm sitting in it. I'm sitting like in it, like underneath, like right here. If I could fit in here, I would sit in as an example. But I was sitting in it. And John was standing here like this, and he was pointing at me. And he was pointing at me and said, Dan, it was God who told me to ask you to come to Toronto. How many think that's a pretty clear... That's a pretty clear direction. So I get on the phone. I said, Gwen, I just had this dream. I think we're supposed to go to Toronto. We phone up our travel agent. How much from Kiev to Toronto? Two adults, five kids, please. $7,000 or something, U.S., something like that. Way beyond our budget. So I put the phone down, looked at the Lord. Lord, thank you for the dream. Very, very good dream. Isn't it nice how God is merciful? Like the Gideon in me, like this cannot be done. Ah! Sharaba. So next couple of days I go to a town in Ukraine called Mirgorod where we're planting a church. We still have a church there. Still standing. Mirgorod means city of peace. And I have another dream. And in this dream, I see Mary with the alabaster flask. And she goes up to Jesus and she breaks the alabaster flax and pours it on and anoints the Lord. And we know the story. And I woke up, and it was just a few moments after that I knew the interpretation. This is about this trip, Dan. This trip is not just going to be a trip. It's going to be an act of worship. When she gave that alabaster flask, it wasn't just something, it was an act of worship. And God in his mercy was connecting us. And then the next point was, you remember there in that story, there was those who said, such an expense, what a waste. Exactly my thoughts. My Pharisee thoughts. My cheap thoughts. My poverty thoughts. So expensive. What a waste. Thinking according to the elementary principles of this world. You know what that is? Galatians 4:3. Paul says when you enter into sonship, you get released from the elementary principles of this world. How does the budget look? That's a good question, okay? I'm not saying not to look at your budget. But there's another budget in heaven that is not the elementary principles of this world. And the Galatians 4 is talking about little kids who have to be tutored until they grow up to be hoios of God, mature sons of God, able to receive the adoption. And so there's four states of what a son is in the New Testament. And so we're maturing into hoios. That's the journey we're on. We're maturing into the huios of God, the mature sons. And I was thinking according to the elementary principles of this world. And then he showed to me that, yeah, there's some who's going to say that this is a waste. But then he said, Dan, if you do this, the fragrance of this trip, of this worship, will fill the whole house of the former Soviet Union. Remember how the fragrance, broken, filled the whole house? Arriba! And I just knew it right there, the spirit of revelation. It was the Father. The Father was speaking to us. If I would have asked my natural dad, he would have said, don't come. Your supporters won't want it. But my heavenly Father said, do this. And so we got back and started calling other travel agents. And one was in Germany, and our friend worked with him. And he found us 7 tickets from Amsterdam to Toronto for $2,000. Round trip. The only point was we had to get to Amsterdam. Now, if you ever saw Ukrainian roads, you know what four-wheel driving is? Thank God that some of you have these nice... You have these nice four-wheel drives and Lexuses for these nice smooth roads that we have here. God bless you all. I had a Hyundai. No, I'm just kidding. I like your Lexus, but this is fun. I have a nice Toyota. Don't worry. I mean, it is really. Where was I? Okay. 4 days, everybody. Kiev to Amsterdam. Volkswagen bus, non-air conditioned, end of June. Remember the part about this trip will be an act of worship. I had to remind myself that. But you go by revelation. You go by heavenly calling, right? And we got to Toronto, and we didn't know how to pay, you know, the student fee, and then we found out it was all paid for us. And we went for 30 days of school. It was their first four-week school in Toronto. Andrew, have you guys ever been to the school? Okay. It was at this school that I had my first experience of being a holy roller. We had a soaking session. And they invited us all up to soak. And we had a small, little, it wasn't a big school. It was like the classroom was this size, and then the cafeteria was right next door, but no walls. It was just a couple of dividers, like kind of the same size. It was all one building. And we were all soaking in the front, and then someone said lunchtime, and I was the only one soaking in the front. And all of a sudden, the power of God came on me, and I started rolling into the cafeteria. Where everyone was eating. But the really cool thing about doing this in Toronto is like people just keep on eating their spaghetti. Just rolling right to the tables, past the chairs. People are eating. Then I roll back. And I want you to know, like, I think you guys know me well enough, is that I would not do that on my own. Some of you are doubting, I can see that. And then I rolled again. Back into the cafeteria, and they kept on eating their spaghetti. And I rolled back. It was an amazing experience. I had heard about holy rollers. I had been warned about holy rollers. And now I became a holy roller. This is probably the bull getting ready to charge. This happens. This is an interesting one, isn't it? Ooh. Arriba. He's getting ready to charge at you. We snuck out of the counseling class. I got to confess that. Did you stay for the counseling class? There was a wine conference going on in the other building. So I went over to the wine conference and I got drunk. And the guy speaking, his name was Trevor Baker from Dudley, England, near Birmingham. And he was just up there and all he was doing was laughing. That's all he was doing. He just bent over laughing. And I'd snuck out of the boring counseling class that John had paid for us to go to. God bless you, John. And went over to the and I went to that wine event. And he was drunk, and then I got drunk. And then I met, and then two drunkards we met. And then we started talking about Bulgaria. And he started inviting me to come to England and bring the Ukrainian teams to England. And he started bringing teams from England into Ukraine. And that became our Toronto Oasis Center. In Birmingham, England, in Dudley, England. But it happened because I snuck out of the class. And I met this guy, and we're still joined. See, in this grace, in this glory atmosphere, the Lord knows how to put people together for his purposes. It's not just membership. It is heavenly joining. And then near the end, and I've told this story before, I think I told it in Macedonia near the end, George and Banoff prayed for me at the front of Toronto, and I went down, and I could not breathe air anymore. And literally, and I don't say this exaggeration, like I was a little bit afraid because I couldn't breathe anymore. There was no oxygen. I was like, there's nothing there. And it startled me. If you can't breathe, it startles you. And then suddenly I was breathing glory. Suddenly I was breathing glory. Right into my physical lungs. I was breathing heaven. Oh, I want these kind of centers all over the world. I want these kind of centers, you guys, all over the world. And we went home, and we were in Amsterdam, and I had intended, well, maybe we'll pass by Auschwitz on the way and show the kids Auschwitz and explain that to them. And we got into the van, and the Holy Spirit said to me, Dan, from now on, you will not be focused on death. You'll be focused on life. Do not go to Auschwitz. And we went home, and revival broke out. Arriba. And you know, it's all because of presence, everybody. And knowing who you are, going past the soulish realm, getting past the family realm, into heavenly destiny, into your identity under heaven. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, blessed are you, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And you will open and you will close. All that stuff happens because of heaven on us. It all happens because of heaven. And I think probably that's the essence of everything that I do when we're trying to teach or releasing the river or manifestations. I want heaven to get on everybody. And as crazy as it looks or sounds, or I just know the blessing. I just know heaven. I want heaven in Ukraine right now. We have a lot of hell. But we still have heavenly visitations in the middle of that hell. Romans 5:20, where sin and death abound, there much more grace abounds. I could tell you stories of abounding grace. It's astounding. So anyways, write your biography in the Spirit. Meditate on that paper. It'll give you a bit of a framework. Let's stand together. Sharabah.